Here's Pastor Brian as he continues a week of questions and answers.
Welcome to the program today, and once again we are taking questions from the Bible. And yesterday we were looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, taking questions about that, and that is a pretty lengthy issue, and we didn't have enough time to address all the areas that we wanted to yesterday, so we'll revisit that area as well as looking at the filling of the Holy Spirit today. And once again, Rob Jaramillo is in the studio with us to help ask some questions as well as answer them. So, Rob, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Brian. I have some questions and some thoughts. You know, we had talked about yesterday, there's really two main views. There's kind of two camps on this issue, isn't there? The charismatic and non-charismatic view.
Yeah, in relation to the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
To the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's correct. And you know, you had mentioned the non-charismatic view. They had mentioned wherever this additional work or this upon experience would take place after salvation of people in the book of Acts, that was kind of an exception. And I have to say, I really had a hard time swallowing that because the text just didn't say that, did it?
No, in Acts chapter 8, it says this is what happened. Doesn't really explain why.
It just shows what happened. So to really say, come along and say, well, you know what, this is the reason this happened, you're really standing without any ground whatsoever to really substantiate that view, aren't you?
Yeah, we'd call that an argument from silence, is the way that you do not want to argue biblical truth.
Okay, so the situation we have here in Acts chapter 8 is Philip had went down to Samaria. He preached the gospel to them. They responded and were saved. And so as a result of that, Peter and John came down. And look here in verse 15, it says, who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they were already saved. The Spirit
of
God.
They were baptized in water and they responded to the word of God.
So the Spirit of God dwelt within them.
Yes.
As we read in verse 15 here, they came and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Spirit. So it's interesting that even after coming to faith in Jesus Christ, being saved, cleansed, forgiven of sin, and there was a time lapse here from Philip to go back to the apostles and for them to come back. After they came back, laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And that's what we mean there by the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, because in Romans 8, verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And some would like us to believe in Acts chapter 8 that they didn't receive the Holy Spirit up to the point the apostles came to them. So we'd have to conclude, based on the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, that these Samaritans did not have the Holy Spirit from the point that Philip preached to them, were baptized, until the apostles came and laid hands on them. I believe that would be a violation of Scripture, so we need to look for a different meaning. Now, as we looked at yesterday, what some want to explain this away by saying, well, that's an exception. And what was taking place here was that the Samaritans were a group that the Jews despised, and so God wanted to bring unity to the church by letting the apostles come and see that God accepted the Samaritans by laying on of hands of them and them receiving the Spirit that way, so it would unify the church. Now that, again, that's an assumption. That's an assumption that is taking place here because the Bible doesn't say that. And I don't think it's a good assumption. I think we need to go with the Scripture that when you receive the Lord, you receive the Holy Spirit, or you don't belong to the Lord. So these are definitely believers. And then the apostles come, lay hands on them, and the Spirit of God comes upon them. I think that's a much better explanation than looking at, well, we have all these exceptions, or God withheld the Holy Spirit. And I simply see that the Holy Spirit is the one that unifies, not the apostles and through their laying on of hands, but the Holy Spirit brings us into one. Now, the other argument that people use, well, you can't use the book of Acts for doctrine, so don't look to teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit or doctrinal issues based on the book of Acts. Now, once again, it's a violation of what Paul the Apostle says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is profitable. That's a violation of what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, which discuss the purpose of Scripture and the inspiration of Scripture, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So the book of Acts is Scripture, so it's profitable for doctrine, so we should use the book of Acts for doctrine. Now, I agree, you do have more of a narrative that describes events. It's not exactly like the book of Romans, which is very doctrinal and explaining things, but yet it is good or profitable for doctrine. So we come to Acts chapter 8, and we do see that the Holy Spirit came upon them after they were believers. And that I would call the baptism of the Holy Spirit the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, because these people already had the Spirit of God residing mm-hmm. within them, and now they're empowered for the works of service.
I think you made a good point. The book of Acts is definitely a historical book, and its main purpose is not doctrine. It's to give an historical account. At the same time, it gives an accurate historical account of what God himself did.
That's a good point, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Rob, that who do we want to be like? Do we want to be like the church today, or do we want to be like the church that we see in the book of Acts that was empowered, that had a great impact upon their world? And I think of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "It's not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord." So we are in such desperate need of the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about the work of God. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit off the subject, but I do see a lot of churches going in a direction, moving away from dependence upon the Holy Spirit to bring about the work of God in the church. They're setting up what they call seeker-sensitive services, which basically the bottom line is the Bible, the Word of God, is going to be watered down, where issues aren't addressed that the Scriptures discuss. It is a service that is designed more for the unbeliever, not to offend them or to scare them away. I think Apostle Paul put it the best, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe." So we simply need to express what the Word of God teaches in our services and let people respond to the Word. And these seeker-sensitive or church growth type churches are moving away from just relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit and focusing more on their programs. And so as I look at the Bible, I want to experience what I see in the book of Acts with a lot of people receiving the Lord. The church was growing. It says the Lord was adding to the church daily, those that were being saved. Now, I will make one exception. I don't really want to experience Acts chapter 5 of people dying dead in the service, but there's so much else in the book of Acts that it's the works of the Holy Spirit that was accomplished through the church.
And you know, I think there's another extreme that we got to be really careful to avoid. Is I see some churches within the Pentecostal groups or circles that when they think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, to think of something real powerful and wild, like this extremely emotional experience. And that's not always the case, is it?
The Holy Spirit, as he works within us, we sometimes feel emotions, sometimes we don't. We don't base truth or power based on what we experience, but based on the Word of God.
The next question comes up is, what is really the difference between what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit?
That's a good question, because it helps me discuss the issue that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the end-all experience of the Christian life. And some people can come to that point where they say, well, I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. What else is there for me in relation to the Holy Spirit? And there's plenty more. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And so here we need to realize that Paul is saying that we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. It's in the command form, so it's something that Paul is commanding. It is also in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing experience. Be presently or continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the word filled does not mean as if you're going to take a cup and fill it up with water. It carries the idea of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so what Paul is saying, what we need to do, yes, we need the power of God in our life to affect people's lives, but also we need to be controlled continually on a day-by-day basis with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's also important to understand in verse 18, he first starts off by saying, "Do not be drunk with wine." Mm-hmm. And so here, that wine would be controlling someone, their conduct, their attitude, their actions. What they need to be is controlled by the Holy Spirit. So I do see that if we're going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, there is that aspect of repentance, of turning from sin, because the Holy Spirit, if he's going to be empowering our life and directing us, he will direct us in that lifestyle of holiness as well as produce that within us. So to be filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit, doesn't mean that I'm going to necessarily go out and be this mighty, powerful individual where all these miracles that are happening, that could happen, but it primarily means to be controlled.
So then really, the way you understand this is the filling of the Holy Spirit is not so much for power, for the service of ministry, as much as it is for our lifestyle, a conformed life in Christ.
Well, if you look at the work of the Holy Spirit, what his desire to do is to make us like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so whatever the Holy Spirit's doing in our life should conform into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. And if he's going to be controlling our life, there is going to be a turning away from sin. It may not be wine. Maybe that's not the problem. Maybe it's some other area of sin that we don't want to be controlled by, that fleshly thing, but we want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then the outcome will be holy conduct. And that's one of the areas the Holy Spirit's given us to do, and God is saying here that needs to be an ongoing, everyday, really moment by moment experience, being under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit.
So just like in Romans 8, Paul mentioned, those who are the children of God, these are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, leading doesn't mean go down to the corner, witness to somebody, or wear this blue shirt or green shirt today, but that leading is going to be in a lifestyle of what is like Jesus Christ. That's the expression of the Holy Spirit. He is consistent with the nature of Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter or another helper. And that word another means one just like me, one of the same kind. So the Holy Spirit is like Jesus Christ, and he's come to mold that image and character into our life. And if we're being led by the Holy Spirit and we're being filled by the Holy Spirit, that will be obvious and evident in our life that we're becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not merely an emotional experience, although emotions may be involved. It is God taking control of our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, changing us into the image and character and nature of Christ. And without that, we will not be able to be an effective witness to anybody. So we need to, on an ongoing basis, be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, our time's up. Once again, it's too short. We'll be back tomorrow answering some more questions on the subject of the Holy Spirit.